Good morning. I wanted to share some thoughts today about finding God. What made me think about this is recently, Morgan Freeman did a special on National Geographic. It was several nights. And what he was in search of was finding God. He traveled all over the world. There was places that he went that I'd never heard of. But he would interview different people about their religions and what they believed and what they were searching for. And I found it quite interesting. He went to one place and this certain religion believes in reincarnation. You constantly go through this process of dying and reborn somewhere else, either an animal or a tree or another human being to get another chance. And I just thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. But they did believe that your soul lives forever. They didn't believe that. And then there was another place that he went to that holy men, or a group of holy men, could only drive out evil spirits out of people. And this priest had this stick, and on this stick was something. I didn't show you what it was, but it was covered with a special cloth that I don't know if the cloth was considered holy or what, but these people anyway would realize they had a holy spirit, an evil spirit in them, and something was wrong, and so they had to go to this priest in this little hut, and they had to kneel down before him, and he'd bang on their back with this stick and this thing on this blanket, or wrapped in this cloth, until this old evil spirit come flying out of this person, and oh, they'd scream, and some were foaming at the mouth and different things, and so anyway, the guy that went with this lady to do this interview in this place, he went through this process. And so he was asked afterwards, well, how do you feel? Well, I feel a lot better. He says, well, do you think the evil spirit left you and never come back? Oh, no, it'll be back again, and I'll have to go through this whole process again. I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. That's quite a religion. And then there was another place, a little small country, that he went to, where once a year, these holy men, group of holy men, would stick swords through their mouth, their cheeks. Some would attach it through their tongues, and some of them had like six swords and daggers sticking through their mouths, and some of them had long swords that were sticking through, and others had to hold the swords up so it didn't rip their mouths out. But they would walk down this street. And if you had sinned that last year and you did things you shouldn't have, you needed to stand alongside that street while these holy men came by, and when they passed by you, your sins were forgiven. So then you had another whole year to do whatever you want, and then you'd have to go through the same process again. I thought, boy, I don't know about that one either. That'd have to hurt. But they were bearing the sins, holy men, the sins of other people. Many of you know that my wife and I had the opportunity to serve on the Indian Reservation in South Dakota for several years. And this tribe of people that we went to, certain tribe, when we went to show them the way of salvation and do what we could to help them, they believed in what was called the Sundance. And what that was once a year, again, a holy man would have to be punished or take on pain for the people in that group's sin for that year. And so it was quite a process. It was a three-day process. And it started out with him going to a sweat lodge, which would purify himself and get rid of the evil in his own life. And sweat would pour him off of him and different things. And he'd go through this without eating or drinking anything. But they did smoke what was called in a peace pipe, what was called red willow. It's kind of a hallucinogenic thing that was found under a bark of a certain tree. they constantly went back to the sweat lodge and spent a lot of time there. And then on the third day, there would be a pole, a pretty tall pole, and it was inside of a circle, and different people could stand around the outside of this circle, and there would be four ropes coming off of that pole, and the one end would be tied to the pole, and the others would be tied to an eagle claw. And there was four of them. They took one here through the skin, and one here through the skin, and here through the skin, and here. There'd be four places in the chest, and your skin's pretty tender. But anyway, after him being with no food and water for 3 days, and probably the mind's probably hallucinating, not only with that, what they smoked, but also no food or water. But anyway, he would dance while the drums were beating and dance around this pole, and every once in a while lean backwards. And he would continue this until these eagle claws were pulled through the skin. A tremendous amount of pain, I'm told. But when that happened, the people that were gathered around and outside of this circle, well, their sins were taken care of for a year. That seems like quite an interesting ordeal, too. I have to tell you that that still is practiced today in that group of Indians once a year. Another religion that this Friedman went to see or talk to was that you had to go before a priest and confess your sins. This priest would tell you to say so many Hail Marys or something different, and he would say, well, you're forgiven. And the priest would talk to God about a person's sins. There were many other religions that Morgan talked about. One of them, these people do not exist anymore, but down in South America, there was a group of people there that believed in several gods and that they actually believed in human sacrifices. In order for them to have good crops that year and good weather and prosperity in their lives, that someone needed to be sacrificed. They would lay someone on a stone and cut their chest open and cut the heart out while it's still beating and offer that heart to the gods. You know, I share this with you because I am so thankful that I was raised in a Christian home. And that I was told the way of salvation when I was young. And there are many of you here that probably could say the same thing. And in watching these series, it verified what I knew already. I didn't realize there were so many weird religions out there. But it made me realize how fortunate I was to be introduced to Jesus while I was young. But none of these religions offered lasting peace or a way to God. None of them offered an assurance that my sins have been forgiven. Not only forgiven, but that I've been given a clean slate. None of these religions offered and guaranteed my eternal destiny to be in heaven. You know, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, man has needed a redeemer. Something needed to be sacrificed for sin. Abel brought a sacrifice to that God required, which was a lamb. But Cain brought something that he'd worked hard for, and he made himself. But God required shed blood. And you know, from the beginning of time, Satan has been hard at work to deceive mankind of what it takes to find God on his own, rather than finding God the way God has laid out for us in his word. Well, we can see with these different religions that there's an idea of just a little bit of truth. The people that believe in reincarnation, we do have a soul that lives forever. And it's going to be in one place or the other, the Bible tells us. The religion that believe that someone needed to pay for sin, that is true. We needed a Savior to die for our sins. Satan has blinded people's eyes and their thinking that there is another way. But what God has laid out in his holy book, there's only one way. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, we are told that Satan himself comes to us as an angel of light, and he deceives many. What's interesting about Satan, he'll make so many things look good, but he'll never tell you what the end of his plan is. He'll never show it to you. He wants to deceive you into thinking, it'll be all right. All roads lead to heaven. You'll be all right, and you'll make it. But we don't find that in Scripture anywhere. So we come to our Scripture today, our text, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 through 6. We are told here, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." We find there's only one God, one mediator, and one, only one that gave his life for us. Shall we pray with me? Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts today and encourage those of us that want to follow you, and maybe be someone here that doesn't know you, that they would feel their need to come to know you. We thank you so much, Father, that you are the only and the true living God that has provided a way for mankind to escape the judgment to come. Thank you and praise you for all that you've done. Bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We find here in this passage, through the finished work of the cross by Jesus, God's Son, that we can be made right with God. It's only through Jesus we can find God. There is no other way, period. If people are trusting in the priest to make things right, what insurance do you have that priest has made things right himself? What assurance do you have that priest can make things right with you and God? And if the so-called holy man is suffering pain for you, what assurance do you have that this holy man is really holy? No other religion can claim that their prophet was sent by God, or claim that they were the Son of God. All these religions that we spoke about earlier were from a man thinking it up. After these men died, they're still dead today. They did not rise from the dead as Jesus did. Some of these leaders of these religions became rich, and it gave them power. And some of these leaders and some of these leaders became rulers and were worshipped. They were in it for their own glory. And some of their followers are very faithful and take very seriously what they believe. Some even will kill others that don't believe the way they do because it gives them a ticket to paradise. Aren't you thankful that isn't required of us? That because my neighbor doesn't believe in Jesus, that I'm not commanded to kill him. I'm commanded to show him the love of Jesus and what I believe and what my Savior has done for me. I'd like to read a couple other verses in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 11. And every priest stood ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which could never take away the sins of the world. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstools. For one by one offering, he was made perfect for those who are being sanctified. And then we also read verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, and for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We see here that Jesus, the Son of God, sacrifices life on the cross that sins might be forgiven. Jesus walked this earth. He healed the sick, reached out to the hurting, spoke words of life, gave hope to the hopeless, gave peace for those that sin. And then he allowed wicked men to arrest him in a garden. He allowed them to take him to a court where he was mocked. The trial was a mockery. Lies said about my Savior. He allowed men to beat him. And if that wasn't enough, they said, here's, you're going to be nailed to a cross. Carry your cross to the hill. He died a horrible death. He physically suffered, shed his blood so you and I can be forgiven of our sins. And then he was put in a borrowed tomb. But he rose from the grave and is alive today. None of these other religions can claim this. But there's also no other religion that offers complete forgiveness of sin, a way to have true and lasting peace with God, the God of the heaven. And what's neat too is what we read in Hebrews here, that by becoming a Christian, we have access directly to God, to the heavens. And Jesus has made that possible. No man on this earth has made that possible for me to talk directly to God. And it's interesting that some would say, well, how do you know the Bible's true? We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture was inspired by God to man to write it down. All the other religions claim they got their information from a trance or a vision, some even by an angel. But God himself gave men that were willing to follow him and do what he wanted to write this book here. And it's interesting that even after this many years, this book is still the number one selling book in the world. There must be something to it. Must be something to it. Well, if you're here today without the Lord, you may be asking, well, how can I become a Christian? What do I need to do to accept this Jesus that took my pain and suffering, that I can have my sins forgiven? I think one of the things I think about when that question is asked, maybe we should turn to it, is Acts chapter 3, or chapter 2. Peter gave the first sermon that's recorded in the New Testament in after the church was started. Peter gave the first sermon, and it said that some of these people were cut to the heart. And he says, well, what must we do to be saved? In Acts 2:38, we're told that Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Sounds like to me this is a much easier way to come to know God than all the other things we talked about in the beginning. You see, Christianity is not a religion. It is the only way that we can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And since we have the answer, and we have this book, it should make us all the more want to throw seeds out that the lost around us can come to know this Jesus and not be caught up in a religion that only ends up in a lost eternity. And in closing, real quick, I'd like to read a few verses in Revelations. Revelations chapter 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged according each, they were judged each according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You know, I find this interesting. People say, why did God send people to hell? You send yourself there if you decide not to accept the Lord as your Savior. And I find it interesting that even in the end of time, God is still showing his mercy. He's opening the books. The book of life, to make sure that that person that is lost, that their name isn't there. God already knows that, but he's still in his mercy, has opened the books to look. This is the end that's going to happen to our world, and I feel very soon our world is falling apart. And many religions are out there leading people astray and down the right road. And I thank you. If you're sitting, I'm so thankful to God for what he's done for me. And you can be thankful if you're a Christian here today, thankful that you were brought to know the truth. You didn't grow up in a country where some of these religions are running rampant and people are being led down the road to hell. So as we come to the time of decision and the worship team come forward, I've asked Jason to come up. If you have a need to come, and you want to come forward, you want to get to come to know the Lord or join the church, I ask you to come forward. He invites you at this time. I've asked Jason to come because I can't hear very good. I have hearing aids. And if somebody whispers in my ear, I can't hear what you're saying. So I asked Jason to do it. Thank you for listening today.